The second reading continues our journey through 1 Corinthians. And Paul is still laying out his credentials in a way and trying to start pointing these people toward a new way of being. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of rulers of this age who are doomed to perish, but we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they're foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. May God add a blessing to the hearing and the understanding of this holy word. Amen. Paul was not at his most clear and concise in that reading. And for that, I apologize. But we have here two scriptures that talk about how to be God's people. In the first case, these people that the prophet is speaking to in God's name, they're following the rules, they think. Okay, they're in a fast. Now, a fast, and for those of us today, fasting usually just means not eating, right? And that's because we grew up in that era with our Catholic friends who had to fast on Fridays, couldn't eat meat, so on and so forth. But fasting really is to turn away from the normal and turn to God. To turn away from the normal and turn to God. File that away for Lent, will you? Okay? Because the Lent is coming. So these folks were fasting. But did you hear what they said? Oh God, why we're fasting. Why aren't you paying attention to us? You know, why do we fast, but you do not see? Why do we humble ourselves, but you do not notice? So why are they doing it? They're doing it. Look at me, God. It's like the Pharisee and the publican in the New Testament, where the Pharisee is standing in front of the temple and he says, oh God, look at me, I tithe, I do all this, I do that, and I do the other thing. And then the publican over on the other side, and he just sits there and says, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on me, a sinner. So God isn't impressed by stuff that says, look at me. Because God is always looking, and God knows. So anyway, they take the fast days and they ruin them, basically. They use them for all the wrong things, oppressing their workers, fighting, carrying on. But this, then it goes on and says, is this not the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the naked to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then the light shall break forth. So God is calling the people to see beyond the rules they think that they have, the rules that they think they have to observe, and to get down to the heart of the love of God and God's call to be God's love to everyone all over. And the only way you can see that is by seeing with the Spirit. You have to have some insight into God's Spirit to be able to see into God's heart and see what it is that is needed as opposed to what you've been told was needed by the priests, the Levites, and so on. Paul picks up, it's not an exact parallel, but Paul picks up on this idea of the Spirit as well. And in the New Testament, there are lists of gifts of the Spirit. And I thought I had brought one over with you. I wasn't going to read them to you, but I was going to wave it at you, because there are a lot of them, the gifts of the Spirit. And actually, for those of you who were here last week, the little response to the offering listed some of them. The gifts of music, of administration, of giving. You know, and then there are some others that are listed in the various places. But Paul says that unless you, and this sounds like a conundrum, unless you have the Spirit, you can't receive the gifts of the Spirit. Because unless you have this, have insight into God's Spirit, those gifts are pure foolishness. They're nothing. I mean, they don't mean anything. Or they're misused. Because the gifts of the Spirit were given to build up the body of Christ. To work in service in the community of God. So having an extensive set of gifts that are used only in the world doesn't pass muster. So, you have to have the Spirit to get the Spirit. So, where do you start? You know, which came first, the Spirit or the gifts? Well, friends, the good news is it's a both and. You know, we're starting our confirmation process for this year. And, you know, yeah, we're going to study some stuff. You know, we're going to talk about the Bible, and we're going to learn a little bit about church history, and we're going to learn about the various ways that people worship, and we're going to learn about practices in the church and things like that. But all things considered, what we're really trying to do is open up ourselves to God's presence and God's Spirit. You know, there are three ways that we know God. One is through the Scripture. Two is through the tradition, and three is through our own experience. And so we're going to try to find ways to open ourselves to God's experience. Now, that experience sometimes comes through to the tradition, and it sometimes comes through the Scripture. But unless you can hook into it and make it, unless we can hook into it and make it our own, we're not going to get it. And we may miss out on the best gifts that God can give. Because we're assured that each of us has gifts. Each of us. Yeah, even us old guys and gals, us old people. We have gifts. We have gifts we haven't used, I bet. Gifts for serving in the church and serving God's people. So we need to wake that up. And so when I pray, pray for the Spirit of God to come into us. So that when we assess a situation, where we see what's going on, we know that we can look at it with spiritual seeing and not just the jaded eyes of our years here on earth. And as we see with spiritual seeing, we will be able to discern a path for ourselves. We will be able to help discern a path for our church and a path for anything we're part of. And so we pray that the Spirit will be with us and will open our eyes for spiritual seeing. Amen.